Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Verse Number 16. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam abhayankaraha aviveshaṁ shabhagena manāna kadundhubhi. Translation. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, enter the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The word Vishvatma refers to one who is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesher junatishtati. Another meaning of Vishvatma is the only lovable object for everyone. Because of forgetfulness of this object, people are suffering in this material world. But if one fortunately revives his old consciousness of loving Krishna and connects with Vishvatma, one becomes perfect. The Lord is described in the third canto, 3:2:15, as follows. Paravaresho mahadamsha yukto hyajo pijato bhagavan. Although unborn, the Lord, the master of everything, appears like a born child by entering the mind of a devotee. The Lord is already there within the mind, and consequently it is not astonishing for him to appear as if born from a devotee's body. The word avivesha signifies that the Lord appeared within the mind of Vasudeva. There is no need for the discharge of semen. That is the opinion of Sripad Sridhar Swami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the Vaishnava Toshini, Srila Sanatan Goswami says that consciousness was awakened within the mind of Vasudeva. Srila Veera Rahava Acharya also says that Vasudeva was one of the demigods, and that within his mind the Supreme Personality of God had appeared as an awakening of consciousness. Bhagavan api vishvatma bhaktanam habayankaraha avivesham shabhagena manaana kadundubehe. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul of all living entities, and who vanquishes all the fear of his devotees, enter the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is the vanquisher of all fear for his devotees. So, it's said that in the Bhagavad Gita that we should give up this fear, but fear can also be an impetus in devotional service, it would seem to me. Just fear of the right thing. Prabhupada said a problem that we have in the Western world is that we're not afraid enough of Maya. So it would seem that a fear of Maya would be an impetus for us to engage in devotional service. I know for myself that my biggest fear is that my Maya will be taken away by Krishna. So I hold back from surrender to Krishna due to fear of losing something. Whereas our fear should be that we would lose the opportunity to engage in devotional service. So that kind of fear is wanted. We're doing the same things in Krishna consciousness pretty much as anyone is doing in this world, in this material world. We're eating, sleeping, mating, defending, doing those things, but in the service of Krishna. When Arjuna asks Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, how does this man who is in transcendental consciousness, how does he sit, how does he walk, how does he talk, how does he act? Krishna's answer wasn't to those external things. His answer was to the internal. His consciousness has changed. So it may appear that we do things very similarly. I mean, what's the difference in one man eating and another man eating? But consciousness is different. Because for a devotee, he will only eat that which is offered to Krishna. Whereas a materialist person will eat anything, basically, according to the whim of his mind or the speculation of his mind. And that's why, in our experience, at least it's my experience, that those people who practice vegetarianism for mundane reasons find it very difficult to stay a vegetarian. Sometimes you meet somebody and say, yeah, I was a vegetarian for 10 years. But we have very good reason. And that reason is because Krishna wants us to be like that. He won't accept that which is not vegetarian as an offering. And we won't eat anything that's not offered to Krishna. Otherwise, we would be meat eaters also. Pretty much. So this surrender to Krishna is the idea behind all of our Krishna conscious activities. This internal surrender to Krishna, as Maharaj was speaking very nicely about yesterday, to internalize our Krishna consciousness. And it's not an easy thing, although it's not a difficult thing. Notice the process is not difficult, right? Chanting, dancing, taking prasadam, these are things that everyone likes to do. But because it's an affront against our desire to engage separately from God, then that's the difficulty. What's the difficulty in this material world? What's the lack in this material world? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said the only lack is Krishna consciousness. That's the only thing that's missing. And as devotees of Krishna, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and our whole line of disciplic succession, it is our mission to spread Krishna consciousness to everyone, everywhere in the world. Wherever we go, whoever we meet, we spread Krishna consciousness. And in this day and age, the spreading of Krishna consciousness is done by the chanting of the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Dharpana Marjana, Baba Mahadavagni Nivapanam. Cheto Dharpana Marjana. This is the first words of the Shikshastika. The Shikshastika being the only writings left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the first word. Generally, even in our English language, when we begin a paragraph, the first line of the paragraph kind of gives the mood for the whole rest of the paragraph, right? So this for Cheto Dharpana Marjana, cleansing the heart of all the dust accumulated. This is setting the mood for Krishna consciousness. This is what we have to do, is cleanse the heart. That's the first thing we have to do, is cleanse the heart. Why do we have to cleanse the heart? Because we are naturally eternal servants of Krishna. We're naturally servants of Krishna. So it's really just a cleansing process. Just like upstairs later on, you'll be able to get some water in a bottle, right? Purified water. You know, who knows where that water was or what it was like before it got in that bottle. Some places, they purify the water that goes through the toilet, and then it comes out of the tap, and it's drinkable. Because the essence of water is pure. So even though it may contact so many contaminants, it can still be purified. So us in the material world, although we contact material nature in so many ways and become contaminated by material nature, still our essence is pure. And the Bhagavatam purport, Prabhupada says the real desire, the essential desire of every living entity is to serve Krishna. It's just that that desire becomes distorted as it exhibits itself through the association of the modes of material nature. Just like these lights, right? Light looks very white and bright, but I can cover it with different coverings, like a red covering. Now it looks red. Cover it with a blue covering, a yellow cover. Cover it with so many coverings, you won't even see the light. It's like we go out in Harinam last night and we see so many people that seem to be covered to this degree. They don't know what's going on in the world because they're covered. But the devotee can see through that covering and see that that person is a spirit soul and needs to be engaged in the service of Krishna to remove those coverings. So now we remove the coverings from that light and we see that bright light just as it is. So when we remove the contamination from our association with the modes of material nature, there we are, pure servant of Krishna. So we can pray to Krishna to remove these fears that we have of losing our material desires, and pray that we have Krishna conscious fears, like fears of, as one gets older, I don't know, some people are older here, I'm older, and now the fear sets in that, well, what am I going to do? You know, I have a few years left. Let me do something for Srila Prabhupada, something significant to serve the spiritual master. And the fear starts to come, well, geez, I don't know how long we have. So that's a good motivator for devotional service. Of course, Prabhupada said to one devotee when he asked, how can we make advancement? He said, to understand that you could die at any moment. Any moment we could leave this body. We don't know. You can read about different things that happen to people in the material world. And you can't figure out how they happen. And due to the workings of karma, which are very difficult to understand. Of course, devotees aren't under that karma, but still things happen. And we don't know what will happen. The material world is a very dangerous place. Danger at every step. So it behooves us to always maintain our Krishna consciousness. Even when so many things, even internally, even our own minds, even our own bodies are trying to keep us from practicing Krishna consciousness, still it behooves us to stay involved, to stay on the ship in order to get to the destination. The good ship ISKCON, huh? So, thank you very much. I'm going to take very much time. Any question or comment? Yes, sir.
You mentioned, you gave a very nice analogy, I think I heard for the first time. The essence of water is pure, so it can be purified. Similarly, the soul is essentially pure, so it can be purified. That's what you mentioned. So, like what, you know, what should we be
like focusing on or doing that we can remove all the anarthas, including fear. Fear is also one kind of anartha we can remove so that we can approach Krishna. Can you offer some advice?
Well, the answer to that question, which is basically, how can we become Krishna conscious, is to strictly follow the order of the spiritual master and try to please him by our endeavors. So what does Prabhupada want? He wants us to chant Hare Krishna and be happily engaged in the service of Krishna. It's not a mystery. It's not a mysterious thing. It's a very simple thing. But as I said, the difficulty is that we're holding on. We don't want to let go. Like the wedding party. The wedding party was on the boat and they're rowing all night to get to the other side so they could have their wedding. But they didn't pull up their anchor, so they didn't go anywhere. They're rowing like anything, but they didn't pull up their anchor. And that part is tough because we're conditioned. Right? Prabhupada said, what, we've been in this material world since time immemorial? There's 8,400,000 different species of life, and we've been involved in all of them. Years and years and years of consciousness of being a product of this material energy and being a material body. But in this day and age, Lord Chaitanya, right? Sabha Avatara, Sara Shiromani, Kevala Ananda Kanda, the two incarnations are the essence of all incarnations. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda had given us the most blissful and easy process for reviving. It's like waking up. We do wake up every day, right? You go to sleep and you wake up every day. So we just need to wake up. We just need to revive our original Krishna consciousness. Chant Hare Krishna. Yes, sir.
Fear that there's little time left, so I have to do something for my Guru Maharaj. Actually, Prabhupada had that same sense when he was writing. That's why he actually thought to write Krishna book, because he realized time was short, and the project he was undertaking, which was to translate the complete Srimad Bhagavatam, was a mammoth task. So thinking that he might not make it, let me do something. So that's pretty interesting that's there. Of course, Prabhupada, because he had that sense of urgency, not just in that particular case, but also he had a sense of urgency for now is the time for serving Krishna. Now is the time for surrendering to Krishna. Because he actually had that sense of urgency and was living that in a sense of urgency that every moment is important. I got to serve Krishna. Don't have much time left. Don't know how much time I have left. He was able to impress that into the hearts of those who met him or those who heard him and those who are still hearing him to kind of drop what they're doing and surrender to Krishna. So I was wondering if you had any time to reflect on your part of the discussion that took place yesterday in the meetings where it was talking about surrendering to Krishna, how practical is surrendering to Krishna? If you could, would you have any time to, I mean, do you have any more thoughts on that? It was kind of a short discussion there at the meeting, but.
Well, not really knowing what to really surrender to Krishna is, because I haven't really done that yet. It's hard for me to say, but having been involved in trying to surrender to Krishna for, 40 years or something, it has never let me down. I feel no lack. I feel no, personally, I don't feel any loss in that. I know sometimes I've heard that devotees feel like they wasted their youth or something like that, and that they could have done so much more, but it's that's a material calculation. We have to learn how to calculate in terms of the spirit. And Prabhupada taught us that. Prabhupada taught us just to calculate in terms of the spirit and not in terms of material wealth or material anything. Just in terms of becoming Krishna conscious. So it seems to me that consciousness arises. I mean, Prabhupada was a Krishna conscious man, fully Krishna conscious man here living amongst us. And so that was obvious to, or everyone felt that. Everyone felt fearless in his fearless presence. So if we want to carry on Prabhupada's mood of being fearless and Krishna conscious, then each of us has to rise to that platform. We can't think that Prabhupada is the only pure devotee. He wanted us to all become pure devotees. Just as the Christians say, oh, Christ, he's the only pure devotee, basically. He died for our sins. We're all sinners. We can't do anything but sin. But we can't get like the Christians. We can't think like that. Prabhupada wanted us to become pure devotees. In some places, he said that the Father is happy to see the Son do more than he would do. So we have to think that somehow we can please Prabhupada by fulfilling that desire of his to become a pure devotee. Not only is it possible, it's probable if we follow his instructions. Yes, sir. Anuttama Prabhu. Oh, I'm sorry.
So, Prabhu, you mentioned that you said, how devotees, I think you said, of course, devotees are not under karma. When we hear, Krishna takes direct charge to devotees, but Prabhupada also elsewhere, he said that just having a material body, proves that we still are, we're burning off our karma, our body is our karma. So I'm just wondering, how do you understand that? It seems there's kind of like some transition where karma is there, but Krishna, as it's explained directly, takes charge of his devotees. So how would you explain that to a person trying to understand that? It's actually kind of a deep theological concept, and I don't feel clear, and I wonder what your thoughts are.
Well, what does karma mean? According to Bhagavad Gita, karma means those actions which pertain to making up a material body. That's, Prabhupada says that in the purport of Bhagavad Gita. So that's what karma is. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has control of everything. All the Maya Jakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. He's in control of all spiritual world, all the material world, everything that goes on is under Krishna's control. So if one surrenders to Krishna, then although he's surrendering in this material body may have some karma to play out. And Prabhupada has told us that Krishna can minimize that result, right? Sometimes someone cuts their finger and then they would say, well, geez, my whole arm should have been cut off, right? But Krishna saved me from that. So why can't Krishna do, you know, arrange for his devotee to have a different karma, you might say? Prabhupada says that when we clap our hands in the kirtan, we're changing our karma, right? Changing our astrology chart, rewriting it. So why not? Is that bona fide?
Just wondering, where do you think, I'm thinking the analogies that one time somebody asked Prabhupada, when do you get the mercy of the spiritual master? Is it when you, you know, take initiation? Is it when you take second initiation? Is it when you, when is it? And Prabhupada's answer was, you get the mercy of the spiritual master when you begin to follow his instructions.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, I'm trying to kind of maybe grasp, you know, at that point that somebody walks in the temple, Krishna takes charge right then. Somebody, you know, because it seems there's this transition where there's the karma, but Krishna's, I mean, ultimately Krishna's controlling it all. Even the you know, the demoniac species, it's ultimately Krishna's controlling it all, but he's doing it through different agents. And it seems the difference is, Krishna says, when we start to come back to him, he says, I'm going to directly take charge. You know, I think sometimes it's like somebody's in a prison house, you're under the control of the guards. But if you somehow get the mercy, the attention of the head, what is it, the warden, the warden says, okay, he's still in the prison, but I'm directly watching this guy. I'm taking charge of him, bringing them, you know, through the process. So that's how I kind of understand it.
All I can think of is when there's some attempt to surrender to Krishna. Now, the thing is that the pure devotee, as Srila Prabhupada, or other pure devotees, they're canvassing to give one that opportunity. So they're actively going out and dragging. Prabhupada said, I'm dragging you back home, back to God. We're kicking and screaming, and he's dragging us. So by his mercy and his intervention, then Krishna is taking control. I guess. I can't say exactly. Bhagavad Gita says that the interactions of karma and these things are very difficult to understand. But the mercy of the spiritual master is like the sun. The sunshine. It's always there. We just have to step out into the sunshine and we'll get that benefit. There's that great story about the guy in prison who was right next to another guy in prison who seemed to have everything. He had a TV in his cell and he had a nice couch and he was getting nice meals and stuff like that. So this guy in the next to him, he didn't have any of that. And so he decided one day he's going to break out. So when he broke out, what he did was he broke into that guy's cell. So he had a key to get out of the prison, but what did he do? He just put himself in a cell with a nice couch and a TV. So we have this key to get out of the material world. We just have to use it. Yes, ma'am?
Sometimes Krishna gives some realization that we need, you know, I need to surrender more, do more and everything, but I can't seem to keep that consciousness, you know, 24/7. And if I can't keep that consciousness, a realization, because of probably insincerity, then how to get to the root of that? You know, pull out that root of insincerity to, you know, do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, same old question. How to become Krishna conscious, even though all this is going on internally. just continue on. One thing, just beg to never be able to give it up. Don't give up Krishna consciousness. Continue to serve. And have faith that Krishna will bestow his mercy. He's already bestowed it. We're able to serve him. So revel in that fact. And Prabhupada did say, you know, that famous incident in Atlanta when Prabhupada was speaking so heavily about how we have to become 100% Krishna conscious and completely give up all material desires. And, you know, heavy class like that. And he was seeing that the devotees were looking very despondent. And after a while, he said, okay, 90%. Devotees were a little bit encouraged. And after a little bit more, Prabhupada said, okay, 80%. And then he got down off the Vyasasan, turned to walk away, and he turned around and he said, okay, 70%. Put his chadar over his neck and walked off. So have faith that Prabhupada, if we remain with Prabhupada and we stay in the boat, a good ship of ISKCON, we will go back home, back to Godhead. That faith is really all that's required. What else is there? What are the alternatives? Right? This is intelligence means to look at all of the alternatives and to discriminate. So we just analyze, what are the alternatives? Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I just always try to remind myself, never give up and always surrender to Krishna.
Jai. Hare Krishna. So stay like that for your whole life and Krishna will take you back on back to God. Hare Krishna. It's kind of like marriage. Right? The key to marriage is never consider divorce. Never think of divorce. It's not an option. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we never think of leaving. That's not an option. Maybe all kinds of things may happen in Krishna consciousness, but that one is not an option. Prabhupada said we just surrender this one life. What's one life? Out of 8,400,000 different species of life, now we've come to this one life. Why not give it up for Krishna? What's the loss? There's only everything to gain. Good prasadam, good association. People come to the temple, like there's a fellow that's been coming to the temple in Hawaii now, older fellow, middle age anyway, had a very good job. Now he's kind of lost that job. He comes and washes pots every day. And he just loves the association and the prasadam. He says he'd never met people like this that were so nice and so forth. And the prasadam is so good. So he has, you know, he had a big job, making 100,000 or more a year or something like that. And now he's found that by washing pots and associating with these people and eating prasadam, he's really happy. So here we are. The one problem is that familiarity pretends to breed contempt in this material world. So we become familiar, right? Remember in our first days of Krishna consciousness, how enthusiastic we were. Well, then we become a little familiar. So just let these kind of incidences and all of these things, if we actually give ourselves to people and preach to people about Krishna consciousness, then we'll see how fortunate we are. And in that fortune that we see, we can feel gratitude. And with gratitude, now that gives us great impetus to serve Krishna. So just like we pay the light bill, the gas bill, Because we're grateful that they're giving us gas and electricity. So we write that check every month. So when we eat prasadam and we associate with wonderful devotees and we engage in the process of Krishna consciousness, we can feel grateful and thankful. And that'll give us impetus to go on with some further service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.